Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
Okay, so this evening we're going to talk about what it means to be a long-term church. Okay, church is long-term. Okay, so in CCM we have a number of different sites, and the first one, the original one, actually is in Gorton. And the people that lead that are Andy and Victoria Armstrong, and they have been in Gorton for over 20 years, giving of themselves in that part of Manchester, plugging away, building church, serving their community, kind of discipling each other and the church there. And they've done that for 20 years because it is a long-term job. The Simmons family, so Vic, me, Abby and Ezzy, we've been in Manchester for 10 years, planting churches, building churches. And for us, it's a long-term job. We want to keep doing it. These people that we met in Krakow, and people who were, there was out of those guys in Krakow, actually, there was a little team going to plant into Warsaw. There was a group in Prague. Those guys are going there to build their lives there and to plant churches there. And it's a long-term thing for them. And we don't talk in those terms. Sometimes we think we're going to start something and hopefully quite soon we'll have enough people and it will survive. But actually, these are long-term things that we do. My brother has planted into Amsterdam, planted a church there about 5 or 6 years ago. My brother is much uglier than me, but it's gone very well for him. But he knows that this is a long-term project, actually, to love and serve his city, that city there, to build church, to learn how to love God together. That doesn't happen overnight. Actually, it's a long-term project. CCM has just planted into Withenshaw, so they've just had their third Sunday meeting. They start at 4 o'clock. And they've just had their third, and their first week they had lots of people turn up, which is what happens in every CCM site in the first week, because CCM people turn up because we're supportive and a bit curious. So they all turned up and met there, and then the week after, all of those visitors are gone, and he was back down to 10 people. That's what happens. But he knows that actually I'm not here week by week. This is a long-term project. I'm here to do this over years and years. And long-term is good, okay? We're not after quick fix. We're long-term because we are committed to our city. We love Manchester. It's a brilliant place to live. It's a great place to have fun, enjoy ourselves. It's a beautiful city. I've been to lots of cities in the world. And so I look around, and even very beautiful ones, you think, well, Manchester's a bit better, isn't it? Let's be honest. So it's good to be committed to your city, wherever that is. Also, when we build church, actually, we're committed to each other. And sometimes we maybe forget this in Fallowfield because there's often quite a high turnover of people, which actually I think is our privilege and our pleasure. But we build relationships with each other so that actually it's easy for new people to join and become part of us and become part of CCM. And also it's important that we send them well as well. But it's a long-term project to be committed to build relationships. And it's a long-term project actually to be committed to Jesus, isn't it? And sometimes someone can come in and they're full of themselves and have a big Christian and really make a big deal of it. And then they have a dip and then they do well again. But actually we're in for the long term. We build relationship with Jesus over years and decades, not just day by day. So at CCM, we talk about the kind of the core of who we are as being devotion to Jesus, community, to community together, and mission to our city, which is basically love God, love each other, love Manchester. That's what it is. And there are long-term objectives. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to build. That's what we dedicate ourselves to. We believe that is the fundamentals of the kingdom of God, to be long-term. So today I want us to look at the church in Galatia. And we've been doing a series on the different churches and some of the different cities in the New Testament. And tonight I want us to look at this Galatian church because this church is fascinating. Okay, they're very interesting. And we get to read a whole letter that was written to them by the Apostle Paul. And this is a strongly worded letter. Okay, Paul is correcting them with this letter. He wants them to stop doing something and start doing something else, which is very helpful for us, and we will dig into that. But this church was planted by Paul as he wandered through Galatia, which is an area, and there are a number of towns and cities there, and he preached in those places. People got saved. Churches were planted there. And as Paul did, he then moved on to the next place. And after Paul had gone, some other teachers came in, probably quite soon after Paul had gone, and they taught things that were different to him. They taught things, actually, that were quite divisive. They taught things that caused the church to lose its way, lose some focus, to believe some false teaching. And actually, Paul was so concerned, he wrote them a letter. And we would think, okay, it's a bit weird, but actually you've got to remember that for him to get to them would take him boat journeys and a lot of walking. So sending a letter, actually to get a letter from the guy who planted your church, okay, that's a big moment. They would have sat up and listened. And the letter to Galatians, really very, very short version, is you need to remember grace. You are saved by the work of Jesus, not by your own works. You're not saved by extra ritual, by added religion. You're not saved by some internal sense of worthiness. You are saved by the work of Jesus on the cross. And actually, that is very, very important for long-term church, to have that long-term view, to have that a view of our city, to have that sense that we're going to have a deep impact on the city around us and on each other as well. A sense that actually we need to hang around, we need to dig deep, we need to build. And Paul wanted them to stay the course. And so for us to think about that, how do we stay the course? As a church, as individuals, in our faith and in our community, how do we think in terms of where we're going to be by the time we are looking at dying, as opposed to next week? Does that make sense? So when we're all sat together in an old people's home somewhere, how do we think I've dug deep, I've built, okay? So Galatians 6, right at the end, Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10, we're going to look at what Paul says to these people. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." So Paul is saying, stay the course, okay? Hold on firm. Church that does good to the city it's in and to each other is long-term church. So how do we do that? How do we build church for long term? How do we build faith for the long term? How do we build something together as a community which has deep impact on Manchester? And actually, as we've talked a bit about this evening, actually deep impact on the city of Krakow. Deep impact perhaps on that small group who are just going to Warsaw. Deep impact on pastors in the east of Ukraine who some of the money from Give Big we're going to send to them. How do we do that? Well, Paul actually is kind of saying that there is a bit of hard work here that I need you to do. There's a bit of graft that I'm looking for you. And he describes this in two ways, as good sowing and good attitude. How do we build church for the long term? Good sowing, good attitude. So let's think about long-term good sowing. Okay, that's sowing as in casting seeds, not fixing socks. Okay, just so we're clear. So long-term good sowing. Do not be deceived, he says. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. And he's saying, look, there are consequences to your actions. Okay, there you reap what you sow. If you sow good stuff, you will reap good stuff. If you sow weeds, then you are going to get weeds. And he explains, look, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. So what does he mean to that? To sow to flesh. That's a very strange language, quite Paul language. What does he mean? And he's not talking about the human body. And sometimes one of the mistakes of kind of Christianity has been to think that in some way Paul is anti-physical, if that makes sense. So he would say, look, prayer and fasting and spiritual things, those things are good. But physical things, like enjoying food or human touch, those things are bad. Somehow humans are separated out into a fleshly bit, the kind of flesh and bone, and that's evil. And then the deep spiritual bit, that's wonderful. Actually, that's not what Paul felt at all. That's not what he means. For him, flesh, and how Paul describes it, is our fallen humanness. That sense that we have rebelled against God by putting ourselves above God, by putting our own wants, our own needs, our own desires, our own preferences, those things are above God. That is kind of fleshly behavior. So when Paul says someone who sows to his own flesh, it's someone who lives for themselves. Really, they are looking to make themselves happy, looking to serve themselves, looking to put themselves above everybody else. And Paul says, if you sow to the flesh, what will you reap? And he describes it as corruption. So let's think for a minute, okay? Perhaps you love to gossip. Perhaps you love that. In that moment when you have that piece of information about someone else who's not there and you can tell other people, you feel a moment of power, don't you? You feel like, I've got something and I can tell you about it. And that gives me a moment of power. That gives me a moment where I'm the center of attention. Perhaps even we get some cheap good laughs about someone who's not there. So what happens? We sow in gossip and you enjoy it. You sow in gossip. But what do you reap from that gossip? Well, eventually, you will probably reap you being gossiped about. You will probably reap people doing exactly the same thing to you when you're not there. When we sow to the flesh, we're fulfilling that desire for ourselves. We're filling that desire to look after ourselves, to serve ourselves. And it's actually a worshipful thing, isn't it? We are really looking to worship our own feelings, our own position in the world. We are living for ourselves. And Paul is addressing this at a whole church, okay? Not just at individuals, but individuals would have read this. He's addressing it to the whole church because he knows actually when we live for ourselves in that way, when we sow to flesh in that way, it actually makes community life really very, very difficult. So to sow just for yourself, to live for yourself, to look to fulfill your own needs, your own desires, to fulfill all of your own preferences above everybody else, then actually that's not really compatible with loving others, or perhaps even loving a whole city, or even with loving God. And when we do those things, when we love God, when we love others, when we love our city, they're all outwards. They're things we output, don't we? So I'm gonna love other people. So it's something I do outwards. I'm going to love God. It's something I do outwards. I'm going to love my city. Something I do outwards. It's not a selfish thing. It's not a taking thing. And that is to sow to the flesh. He says, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And actually, Paul is kind of, he talks about this sort of thing a fair bit. If you read the writings of Paul, so if you read Romans, for example, in Romans 8, he says, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set on the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So in Romans, he's talking about you set your mind on something. And in Galatians, he's talking about you sow into something. Okay, it's very similar kind of things, active things. If you set your mind on yourself, on looking after yourself, on the flesh, then you are going to reap death, he says. But if you set your mind on the Spirit, on good things, on sowing into that, as he says in Galatians, then you reap of the Spirit. Because when we sow, whether we sow goods or bads, there are consequences. And the consequences of sowing to the flesh, well, we've talked about that, but the consequences of sowing to the Spirit, actually, Paul talks a bit about in Galatians. Galatians 5, he says, look, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there are no law. And he says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So when you sow to the Spirit, you actually, you take part in killing the flesh. and crucifying it with Jesus. That selfishness, that self-centeredness, that worshipping ourselves and our own needs and desires. Actually, when you sow to the Spirit, you do something else. You create something much better. And actually, we had a great example of that in Fallowfield last week. Okay, when Naomi, November, where are you? There you are. When she talked about her week at school, and she described, if you were here, her class that she was having to deal with, and so prayed, Lord God, I need to bring peace into this classroom. And I can imagine that teachers would resound with that. Yeah, I need peace in the classroom. And so she prayed, Lord, can I bring some peace into this classroom? And then she told us, didn't she, something changed. Then it was peaceful in that class, and they were able to teach better and do better things. Naomi sowed to the Spirit. That's what happens. And then brought peace in. That was the fruit of what she'd sown. So she sowed and then she reaped. That's a good thing, right? And that's what it means. So to be long-term as a church, have long-term impacts, actually, we have to, as individuals and as a community, consider what we sow. Do we sow to ourselves? Do we sow, actually, to look after number one? To suit ourselves, to serve ourselves, to love ourselves? Or do we sow to the Spirit? Sow something that is beyond us, much bigger than us. And Paul actually saw this church in Galatia, and he'd heard stories of them. People have reported back to them that they were sowing to themselves. And how were they doing that? Well, perhaps not quite in the way you would imagine. They were sowing to themselves by becoming really quite legalistic. And what do I mean by that? Okay, it's quite a Christian word. What does that mean? Well, effectively, they thought that you could make yourself a better Christian by throwing in some extra rules. If you do these extra things, you'll be a better Christian in the eyes of God. There's a whole bunch of additional criteria that we're going to put in. You need to meet those criteria before you can become a friend with Jesus. So effectively, they were saying just a relationship with Jesus, repentance is not enough anymore. Jesus is not enough. You need to do these other things. And when you hear a phrase like, sowing to the flesh, you might think, okay, the preacher now, I know where he's going to go. He's going to go into classic sin territory. The preacher can now go on about sex and drinking and stuff like that. But actually, Paul was really concerned with Christians making it hard for other people to find Jesus, robbing people of their faith, putting extra things in the way of Jesus. Now, Paul was very clear, actually, to be a follower of Jesus is a radical call. Okay, and actually, Jesus himself, if we read the Gospels, we see that he calls us to very, very high standards. So high, in fact, that we cannot meet them without the work of Jesus himself. We cannot meet them without the power of the Holy Spirit. So to be a long-term church, we have to sow in a long-term way. We have to sow to the Spirit over days, weeks, months, years. We sow and we sow, and then we reap. At least we hope to. And actually, another part of being a long-term church is attitude, good attitude. And he says in verse 9, Paul writes, he says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith." Being long-term, having a long-term plan, long-term thinking, I want to build something that lasts, that is godly and wonderful and has deep impact on the life of the community, the life of our city. That's a long-term project. Actually, it sounds like quite a lot of work, doesn't it? It sounds like it might actually be quite wearing. And so attitude is very important with this. To serve our friends, to love the poor, to work hard in your studies, to work hard in your jobs, to love your family, to live as Jesus called us to, with purity, with honesty, all of those things. Actually, we might think, oh, that's not a simple task. That sounds quite wearing, quite wearying even. Actually, Paul uses this word, but he wants us to remember something. He wants us to think about where the power comes from to do that. And he's saying, look, this doesn't come from your religious conviction. It doesn't come from your number of times you attend church. It doesn't come from being particularly well motivated. It doesn't come from your upbringing. If you happen to have particularly good Christian parents, that doesn't increase the chances of you being a better Christian. Actually, let's remember, a few weeks ago, we talked about the church in Jerusalem. And if you weren't here, we talked about how the Jerusalem church was like two churches. In Acts 1, they were a small, self-contained group who were well-organized, obedient to Jesus, and were a bunch of good people. Okay, in Acts 2, that same group of people saw the Holy Spirit rest on them, and then everything about them changed. They went from quite a small, self-contained, good group of friends to thousands and thousands of people. And those people were so generous with what they had, they eradicated poverty in that church. None of them were without, it says. So, but without God breathing life into them and breathing life into us, actually, we are hugely limited. And it's easy to become weary. But when God moves, there is incredible power available to us. Now, I've got to be clear. I'm not saying Christians don't get tired. Okay, I'm not saying that. Okay, so we've been in the Czech Republic for a few days. We got back late last night, so I am a bit tired. But I'm a Christian. So Vicky works shifts at the hospital, and when she gets back from those, I don't say to her, "You're a Christian, you shouldn't be tired," because she'd punch me out. Yeah, it wouldn't be good. If you've had a long day at work, there are lots of reasons that life can be tiring, can't there? Lots of reasons. And I'm not saying Christians don't get tired. If you were to come in and say, "I'm particularly tired, I've been at work all week," I don't say, "Look, what you need is an 8-hour prayer meeting." That's not what I'm saying. But actually, this idea of being weary, Paul really means, actually, there are times when we lose hope. Hope that God is moving. Maybe even lose hope that his kingdom is advancing, that the things that we want to see happen are happening. And in those times, it's quite easy when you're weary to then become cynical. And when we're cynical, we think, well, nothing's going to work. What's the point in trying? Actually, Paul knows that this happens. And weariness can come because sometimes when we sow, like he encourages us to, sow to the Spirit, sometimes we sow and we don't reap. And every one of us has been through a season like this, I would imagine, where perhaps there are a few different scenarios. Perhaps you're thinking, I pray lots, I'm reading my Bible lots, but the breakthrough I'm looking for just isn't quite happening yet. Or perhaps there is a habit that you want to break, a destructive habit, which you know is, this isn't good for me, this isn't helping me, and you battle and you make good decisions. And it's tough and you're not quite breaking through. Or perhaps it's you're talking to friends or whoever about what you believe. And you are diligent in explaining and sharing your faith and loving them and caring for them. And there isn't quite the breakthrough you'd hope for. It's because sometimes we get to sow, but we don't yet get to reap. You think, oh, that's a bit harsh. Actually, this happened to Jesus in Luke. Jesus goes and preaches in a village, and the village reject him and ignore him. That's worth remembering that. Son of God walking the earth. I mean, he could walk on water. He could feed thousands of people. He will come back from the dead. He knew what people were thinking. If there were dead people he met, he could raise them to life. If you were sick, he would make you better right in front of you. Jesus could do quite a lot of stuff. He was very impressive as he walked the earth. And yet he went into this village, and they were like, "No, you're right. We reject you." Actually, his disciples, they got pretty angry. They were saying, "Shall we burn the village to the ground?" They said, "Shall we call fire down from heaven to destroy this place?" That is weariness, isn't it? That is bitterness. That is cynicism that is in them. And Jesus says, "No, it's okay. We'll go to the next village." So Paul wants us to take a step back as he says this. As he says, don't grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. He wants, take a step back and observe the moments you are in. Even observe the season of life that you are in. And he says, look, for in due season we will reap. We reap when God decides that we do, because all of the seeds belong to him, all of the seasons belong to him, the ground that we throw them on belongs to him. He decides. If you've noticed, obviously it's October now, so autumn is drawing in. And a number of times over the last few weeks, I've said to the kids or to Vicky, wouldn't it be great if it was still the summer? And we had a holiday in Portugal and it was so hot. It was amazing. And there's a day when you're in Manchester and it's doing that Manchester sunshine where it's raining, you know that? And you're thinking, oh gosh, it would be so nice to be back there in that heat when it was really great. But seasons change and I have absolutely no power or control over them, much to my disappointment. I have nothing. In Ecclesiastes it says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And then the writer goes on and says, there is a time to be born and a time to die, two things you have no control over. And there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, which is a very Ecclesiastes way of saying, sometimes you get to sow and sometimes you get to reap. And you have about as much control over that as when you are born and when you die. And Paul is saying, look, you probably need to own the season that you are in. Okay? If you wish for the season that was, like me, thinking in Manchester in October when it's wet and drizzly, I wish it was still Portugal in August. You can't wish for the season that was. You can't even wish for the season that will be. Actually, there's something of owning the season that you are in. Our first year of planting here in Fallowfields was back in 2009. And there was a lot of sowing, let me tell you, and no reaping. Okay, we did not reap much for quite a long time, actually. It took a fair while before anybody wanted to join us. It took even longer for anyone to actually become a Christian. And as I look back on that, as I remember that, I think actually that was a season for sowing. That was not a season for reaping. It was also a season for us to grow up in maturity, me particularly, to experience some difficulty, to grow in humility, all of those things. That was what the season was for then. It wasn't for reaping. But then God decided to change the season. We started growing. And Paul says, look, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. If we do not give up. Stand firm in these seasons when you are sowing. And you may be thinking, gosh, I'm doing a lot of sowing and those seeds are going into the ground and not much is happening afterwards. But we stand firm in those seasons. We are here for the long term, actually. That's what we want to do here in this city. We want to think in terms of decades, not just week by week or term by term. And you actually may plan to be in Manchester just for a few years. You may be, and I hope and pray this for many of you, deciding to stay for much longer. But whatever that season is, whether it's a season of sowing, but not yet reaping, or maybe it's a great season where you feel like good things are happening and you're seeing fruit. Actually, Paul says, don't give up. We will reap in time if we don't give up. If you sow in a field and wait a few days and nothing happens, and you think, oh, sack it, I'm going, and you leave and you never go back to the field, you never actually see what grows there, do you? You never get to find out. He says, don't give up. So how do we do that? Well, he says, look, as we have opportunity, let's do good to everyone. He says, look, as opportunities come to you, take the opportunities. It's really very simple. He's not even saying, look, go out and just find people that you can help and don't leave them until you've helped them in some way. He's saying, look, build your life in the place that you are. When opportunities come to you to do good to people in your church, to your city, take those opportunities. Observe the season you are in. If you are in a time of study, or you're in a time of your job at the beginning of your career and you're feeling like you're having to work hard, or you're in a time of building a relationship or have kids or whatever it is, you observe the season you are in and you do it as best you can. And when we see opportunities to sow into the Spirit, to sow in peace and hope and those things Paul talked about, then we take those opportunities. So, CCM, we want to build, actually, a long-term church. That's what we're after. That's what we want here in Fallowfields. And everywhere we've got a site of Manchester. And in lots of other places we haven't even thought or dreamed of yet. Actually, we want to build churches there that serve our city, that bless the city, actually that participate in the city as well. We want to see Manchester flourish as a place where the kingdom of God is expanding. That's what long-term church is. Long-term church is also about loving each other, looking after each other, being good to each other, serving and blessing each other. And also we want to grow together as followers, as disciples of Jesus, to love God. And all of those things are long-term things. And I guess when I think about Fallowfields, I think largely of younger people, shall we say. And I think, actually, you have a fantastic opportunity to begin to sow in to the long term. To sow to the Spirit, not to yourself. And when you build those things at a younger age, those habits in, it's much easier to keep it going than starting later. Believe me. Let's stand. I'm going to pray. The band want to come back. Do you know you're doing communion? Yeah, cool. Do something. Lord God, I thank you. Lord, first of all, I thank you that you hold all of history in your hands. Lord, you can see thousands of years ago when you were having conversations with Moses and Abraham, or Adam and Eve, and then us. And that doesn't faze you. In fact, for you, that's really quite a short period of time, Lord God. And yet for us, we get frustrated, or I know I do, if I try something and within a few days it hasn't given me some sort of comeback and fruit. Lord God, I thank you that you are a God of the long, long term. And Lord, sometimes it's for us to have our hearts expanded and our kind of imagination expanded so that we can see you're a God of the long term. Lord Jesus, would you make us a people of faithfulness and diligence, Lord, who want to build into our city, into our friendships, and into loving you, Lord God. Amen.